As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and he will send it back here without delay.'" They left and found a colt on the street tied at a door, and they untied it. Some who were standing there asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" The disciples answered them just as Jesus had instructed them, and the men let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their garments on it, and Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their garments on the road. Others spread branches that they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the experts in the law were looking for some deceptive way to arrest Jesus and kill him. "Certainly not during the festival," they said, "or there will be a riot among the people."
While Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made from pure nard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it over his head. But there were some who were indignant and said to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? Certainly this perfume could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they began to scold her.
But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. In fact, you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you are not always going to have me. She did what she could. She anointed my body beforehand for burial. Amen, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman did will also be told in memory of her."
Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. When they heard this, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and there a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house that the teacher says, 'Where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." His disciples left and went into the city and found things just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he arrived with the 12.
While they were reclining and eating, Jesus said, "Amen, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and said to him one by one, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread with me in the dish. Indeed, the Son of Man is going to go just as it has been written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them. They all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many. Amen, I tell you, I will certainly not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After they sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee."
But Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away, I will not."
Jesus said to him, "Amen, I tell you, today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But Peter kept saying emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And they all said the same thing.
They went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Then he took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be troubled and distressed. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Going forward a little, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He also said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will."
When he returned to the disciples, he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Were you not strong enough to keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again, he went away and prayed, saying the same thing. When he returned, he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. They did not know what they should answer him. He returned the third time and said to them, "Are you going to be sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Look, my betrayer is near." Just then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. A crowd was with him, armed with swords and clubs. They were from the chief priests, the experts in the law, and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." He went right to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood nearby drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear.
Jesus responded by saying to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to capture me as you would a criminal? Day after day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But this happened so that the scriptures may be fulfilled." Then the disciples all left him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing just a linen cloth over his naked body. They seized him, but he left behind the linen cloth and fled from them naked.
They led Jesus away to the high priest. All the chief priests, the elders, and the experts in the law gathered together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. He was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire.
The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Yet even on this point, their testimony did not agree.
The high priest stepped forward and questioned Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is this they are testifying against you?" But Jesus was silent and did not answer anything. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," Jesus said, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his robes and said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned him as being worthy of death. Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face and struck him with their fists, saying, "Prophesy." The guards also took him and beat him.
While Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the servant girls of the high priest came there. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked directly at him and said, "You were also with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I don't know or understand what you are saying." And he went out to the entryway. Then a rooster crowed.
When the servant girl saw him, once more she began to tell those standing there, "This is one of them." But again he denied it. After a little while, those who were standing there said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, because you are a Galilean." But he began to curse and to swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." Just then, the rooster crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests, along with the elders, the experts in the law, and the whole Sanhedrin, reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "It is as you say." The chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate questioned him again, "Are you not going to answer anything? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus still did not answer anything. So Pilate was amazed.
At each festival, Pilate used to release to the people one prisoner whom they requested. There was one named Barabbas who was imprisoned with the rebels and had committed murder in the rebellion. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them what he usually did.
Pilate replied, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews to you?" In fact, he knew that it was because of envy that the chief priests had handed him over.
But the chief priests stirred up to the crowd to have them release Barabbas to them instead.
Again, Pilate replied to them, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
"Crucify him," they shouted back.
But Pilate said to them, "Why? What has he done wrong?"
But they shouted even louder, "Crucify him."
Since he wanted to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. After he had Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, which is the praetorium, and called together the whole cohort of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, twisted together a crown of thorns, and put it on him. The soldiers began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They kept hitting him on the head with a reed and spitting on him. They also kneeled down to pay homage to him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothing on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. They forced him to carry Jesus' cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. They crucified him. And they divided his garments, casting lots for them, to decide what each of them would take.
Now it was the third hour when they crucified him. The superscription stating the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They also crucified two criminals with him, one on his right and one on his left.
Those who passed by ridiculed him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha! You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the experts in the law, mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said. "He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also insulted him.
When it was the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of those standing there heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah.
Someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. They said, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he cried out and breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God.
There were also women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and the younger, and of Joses, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and served him. Many other women also came up with him to Jerusalem.
It was already evening, and since it was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph from Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, boldly went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had been dead for a long time. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he granted the body to Joseph. Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen cloth. He laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, were watching where the body was laid.